Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this evening to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter number 1 is where we're going to be at. I know we did an introductory to the series last week, and I know a lot of you had mentioned how much you're looking forward to this and how much you enjoyed last week, and I'm excited about this also. Wonderful, special music. What if this was the year that Jesus came? Are you ready for it? Something you want to get done before he comes back. You shouldn't put it off. We don't know. This could be the year, 2024. Sounds like a good time for him to return to me. Obviously, we're not going to make predictions because that's not what you're supposed to do. But at the same time, it is something wonderful to think about. Psalms chapter number 1. I would probably say that in most people's lives inside this book, this is a top 5 favorite one, or at least well-known one. It's a shorter psalm. It's only 6 verses long, but it is jam-packed with things. And it's last year with having the theme blessed, and even looking at a few of these verses, the theme verses, I feel like it's a familiar passage for us. But I'd like for us to look at it tonight with fresh eyes. Once again, there's a lot of truth in there, and we're going to have a whole different outline and different perspective and message that goes along with the chapter. Psalms chapter 1, let's go ahead and read. We're going to read the entire psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look at your word and consider your word, help us to understand the truths that are found here. Lord, this would be something that probably most of us would say that we've heard or heard message or messages on. Even some, I can imagine, in this room would be able to quote this passage, at least a portion of it. But Lord, I pray that you would open our understanding tonight, help us to see and understand certain truths that are found in it, help us to reapply it once again. And Lord, for people that are hearing it afresh and new for the first time, God, that you would encourage us to just be obedient to what your word says. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all the wonderful things you've done for us. Lord, we ask that you do it once again tonight in our hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so that first word, blessed. Blessed is the man. So when you think about this, most of us think, well, that word means, as most of us think, is the word happy. And we talked about the word blessed and the idea of last year, the idea of all the spiritual blessings we have, all the physical blessings we have, and how we should bless the Lord. Tonight, I want you to look here as maybe when you consider the contrast that's found here. There's 2 different groups that are here. There's the blessed man, and then there's the ungodly. There's certain things that the blessed man will not do, and there's certain things the blessed man will do. There are certain things that the ungodly is known for, but there are certain things that the blessed man is known for. And when you look at the passages of Scripture, there's just a lot of different truths that we could just glaze over and say, yeah, I know that. I got that. I got that figured out. But there's 3 things I would like for you to focus on. First thing tonight is we must be separated from the world. We must be separated from the world. And then you know what people are saying, okay, separation means, hey, I'm separating from somebody who's living wickedly and how they're doing things that are wrong. And in some ways that's true, but here this is not talking about, it's talking about how we let people influence us. Some of the things that we have in our life that no one else has, we have influences in our life, who we allow to influence our lives. And number 2, we have choices. We make choices. No one can choose for you that whether or not you're going to sin. Now, some can make it super easy. Some can make it to the point that you have to sin or there's going to be a punishment. But even the devil himself, if you're born again, cannot force an individual to sin. It doesn't happen. I know in our bodies, lots of times they feel like, boy, it feels like I have to act this way. This just comes so natural. There is no other choice, but there is always a choice. We have freedom. We have been saved from that bondage of sin. And so when we look at this, I think the the importance of separation is found here. And you say, where do you see that? Well, it's found in verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of God on the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So what is happening here? It's saying that is, be careful who you let influence you. Guard your influence is really important. If we separate from those that are teaching us wrong things and telling us wrong things. Now you think about it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of who? It's the ungodly. Well, who's the ungodly? And I know what most of the first reaction would be. It's wicked people. It's people who do not put God in their thoughts. It's people who act as if there is no God. And I would agree with that. And I would say that's true. But also, we must learn to separate from people who maybe profess to be saved or even born again, who act like they don't have to answer to God. And it's important to realize that. Ungodly in the simplest form means it's someone who is acting as if there isn't a God. Someone who is acting without the thought or fear. There's fear of God before their eyes. So we got to be careful who influences us. It really is important that we look at that and we put this in our mindset. You know, there are some people, as we learn about those Pharisees, those religious leaders, those scribes, and those Herodians, and all those people that we looked at this past Sunday, all the questions. They were not acting like there was a God. They guess they flattered Jesus. They say, hey, you know, you are the one true, you know, you're the teacher, you're this, you're that. They try to make people around them to feel like, oh, look, there's some spiritual people. We should let them influence us. And then there's the other ones like the Sadducees who go as a point of trying to make fun of Jesus and take the word of God and they twist the word of God. And they're not doing this in any way, shape, or form, realizing that how does God want us to act? And so we got to be careful. And it is super careful in our lives. If we truly want to live the blessed life, if we truly want to live the blessed life, if we truly want to be happy, we must learn not to let the people who act ungodly, we must not walk with them. Now, I know what it's saying, separate. You know, when we talk about separation, we're talking about not letting people influence us. We're talking about not letting people spend the majority of our time with those people. Instead, we pray for them. Instead, we reach out to them. Instead, we do what we can to influence them. What did Jesus do? Who did he spend his time with? He spent his time with sinners. Yes, he has a small group he was discipling, and he had a small group he was teaching and training, but he did not spend the majority of his time just to socialize. And I think that's what happens many times with us as believers. This is what we spend time doing. We socialize with one another. And that's not a bad thing. We're supposed to fellowship with one another. But if we allow those who are acting ungodly, not the way that God would want us to act, to influence us, it's a dangerous thing. And so that's when we come to this passage. We love it. We're like, well, we shouldn't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. We shouldn't be walking with them. As you consider the passage, it's talking about walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. It's talking about casually walking along with them. And then it comes to a spot where you stop and you listen to them. And sooner or later, you're sitting with them and you're just like they are. And you're being a scornful person yourself. And you're getting to a spot and thinking, you know what? What they're saying is right. What they're saying is true. What they're saying, you've allowed them to influence you. You've allowed them to get away from what God desires in your life and what God wants in your life. And you are letting someone who is not godly, who is not acting godly, who is not doing godly things, begin to influence you. You'll be amazed by sometimes we hear the stories about Christians and why people are no longer in church. And that one person began to talk to another person. They began to gossip about another person. And they changed their whole persona. They changed their whole perception of what church is really supposed to be about and what things are supposed to be talked about and considered. And that's what you just got to be really careful. Now, once again, I know it seems like God is taking these messages in the last few months and just trying to intertwine them together to help us understand that there is truth here, that if there's someone who's acting ungodly, if someone's out there talking about other people without the other person present, is that godly? It's not godly. So should we let that influence us? We should not. And that's why we got to be very careful in what we do. Standing in the way of sinners, meaning you're stopping and you're listening. Sitting in the seat of the scornful means you're participating in it. And it's like, you know what? So be very careful. Now, I think it's kind of interesting when we think about those that we influence us, it goes back to a thought. There's this word, these two words are found twice in the Bible. together. Exodus 12:38, it says, "And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and the flocks and herds, even very much cattle." Nehemiah 13:3 also says, "Now it came to pass that they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude." That those words, mixed multitude, meant that there was a group of people that went out with the nation of Israel when they left Israel, when they left Egypt. There was a group that went with them that were not Jews, that were not believers. And that mixed multitude, I remember hearing a sermon preached about that. That mixed multitude caused a lot of problems because they didn't believe the way that, that they didn't believe in the one true God. And the same thing happened in the book of Nehemiah. Now, we don't have a description of who wrote the book of Psalms. This is one of those anonymous Psalms. Now, some would say that's, it had to be David. Now, there was others, as I was studying this, that they thought it could have been Ezra. And in the time period after Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 3, when they're saying they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude, they were saying all those who did not believe in God, all those who were not of the believing in the one true God, they were pushing them out of their lives. Now, back in the Old Testament, they were told to do that. They're told to separate from among them. They were told to not let them influence them. And that's what had happened after Egypt. And that's what had happened even during the times of Nehemiah. There was a lot of apostates, and there were a lot of just different people that were in there, and they were influencing others, even people that had come up high into the administration. They had to weed all those things out. And that's the way it comes to the spot. Don't listen to those that are acting ungodly. I don't care if they claim to be a Christian or they don't claim to be a Christian. Do not let people influence you when they are doing things that is not bearing the fruits of the Spirit. And that's blessed is the man. And that word blessed, and I know we can intertwine that a little bit with happy. I think happy is a fine way to describe it, but it's only just a portion of it. Because sometimes we think happy in the day and time we live in, we're thinking, oh yeah, I'm happy. But it's the joy that's there, that the happiness is found. And what the scripture is saying, if you let the ungodly influence you and take you away from what God desires from you, and if you begin to stand with sinners and you continue to miss the mark, and not only that, if you begin to become someone that's sitting in the seat of the scornful, your life is going to be miserable. The joy of the Lord is not going to be there because you've allowed those who are acting ungodly, acting as if there is not a God, doing only what they want to do and what they think is right and saying what they want to do and saying what is right, no matter what they consider the consequences, when you allow people to do that to you, it's going to rob your joy. And I see some of the most miserable people in this world are people who would profess to be Christians, and I believe they are, but they've allowed someone, something, somehow to influence it, and it robs their joy. It steals their joy. It is not producing the fruit of the Spirit. It is not from God, and it's something that they just look miserable. Now they're holding on, and they're like, hey, I'm just holding on to the end. I don't think God's intended our Christian lives to just hold on to the end. I think we've missed something when we feel like I just got to hold on to the end. No, he has come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundant. Our Christian lives is something that we should be joyful in. It's something that we should see in a minute, that we should be bearing fruit, and that our leaves should not be withered. And even our disposition, or it shouldn't be withering away. Our leaves should be something that's prospering and always prospering, even when we're facing difficult times and even when we're facing hard times. But so often we have allowed something or someone who is acting ungodly to influence us, and has stolen our joy away. It is challenging when you see new Christians get around, they're super excited, and then they go spend time with someone who's been saved, maybe even leadership of the church, and they walk away like, man, this is miserable. This is not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be something that we show and demonstrate that God is someone who loves us, and that God desires that we would have joy and happiness in our life. And I know that there is a time for mourning, and I know there is a time where we will be going through difficult times. Joy is something that is not just an emotion that you turn on and off. It's something the Holy Spirit brings in your heart and life, and it's something that continually is to go through. So if you want the blessing, and that's what he's saying here, if you want the blessing of God, we must learn not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We must learn not to stand in the way of sinners. We must learn not to sit in the seat of the scornful. Separating ourselves from those who are headed in the wrong direction is important. Why is that? Because we want to be near God. We need to separate from those who are headed in the wrong direction. Why is that? Because we want to be near to God. Why did the nation of Israel need to separate from the mixed multitude? It's because they were God's people. Why in the world do we ourselves want to make sure that we're not letting people influence us? It's easy to sit in the scornful. Boy, I could say, if anybody wanted to be negative, boy, I could do that. I could turn around and I could pick pretty much anything and say, hey, well, this is a problem and this is a problem. And I could be a scornful person. It'd be easy to do. To have joy and to live for the Lord and to be able to work and try to seek out resolutions and try to do what's right and to do good. Those are the challenging things that have the power of the Lord on you. Those are things we should be seeking after. It'd be easy to walk along with somebody and to complain and gossip. It's actually fun to do. It is something that's enjoyable. Your flesh will enjoy it. It's good to, you know, walking with the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners. Oh, did you hear that? You know, people are missing the mark. That's what the flesh does. But if we're truly going to desire to do what is right, and we must separate, we must take a step and say, I'm going to separate from anything that is drawing me away from God. And I'm going to put something in my life that's helping me get closer to Him. You know, once again, I know some people like to use that as an excuse. I'm not going to talk to that person anymore because that person's wicked and that person's this and that. Okay, we should pray for that person. They should be able to see the light of Christ in our heart and the light of Christ in our lives. And yes, and that we're not going to let them influence us and we're not going to sit there and listen to them do things that are wrong. But instead, we are still going to reach out and pray for that person and try to be a blessing to that person any way we can. The Bible talks about how we should treat our enemies. But at the same time, I'm saying no to this so I can say yes to God. So the first thing I want you to think about is we must be separated from the world. And the Bible says, wherefore come out from among them and be separate. Ungodly means that they're not putting God in their thinking. And sometimes I ask this, and I get in trouble when I ask this because people don't like it. Is there anything about what you're saying right now godly? Is there anything that you're doing right now that's Christ-like? And they don't like hearing that. People don't like. I don't like it when somebody asks me that. Now, I don't get asked that very often. But it's not because I don't act ungodly at times. It's because they don't want to say it to me. I understand that. But ask yourself that. You know, in this conversation, when I'm running somebody down, is this Christ-like? Is this godly when I'm not willing to communicate with somebody? Is this godly when I'm talking trash about someone else? Is this godly when I'm not thinking about the things of God? And the answer is no. And at that moment in time, you should not be influencing someone. We should change so we can influence others. So first thing is separate from the world. Second thing is saturate with the word. Saturate with the word. And I love verse number 2. And we all probably, I think many of us could quote it. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Love that. So the question is, who has your mind? In verse number 2, they're saying that the word of God has your mind. It has saturated you so much that you come to a point that the word of God is what you think about. And here's the question is, who has your mind? Does the ungodly? Does the sinner? Does the scorner? Or does the word of God? And the Bible says in Philippians 4:8, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. And so here's the difference is, who has my mind? And it's not easy. I mean, your mind is one of the greatest battlefields, if not the greatest battlefield of your entire life. The devil wants to rule and reign in that. He sets up strongholds in your life. And you're thinking, and when things are going hard and things are going tough and there's bad things that are happening and there's things that you worry about and you want to stress about, you know what? That's on your mind. It's difficult even for me sometimes to separate it and say, hey, you know what? But when there's something going on and there's a problem, I want to give it over to the Lord. I want to say, here, Lord, it's yours. You take it. But the devil keeps on bringing it up. There's nothing pure about it. There's nothing honest about it. There's nothing of good report about it. There's something that I should give over to the Lord. And that's why he says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I need my heart and my mind kept through Christ Jesus. And I can do that by be careful for nothing, but in everything. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to give it all over to him with prayer and supplication. That's what we're supposed to do. But who has our mind? What's occupying your mind right now? What is it that today you spent the most time thinking about? And usually it's the trial or tribulation we're going through. It's usually that relationship that's ruptured. It's usually that person that may be talking about you, or the things that they're saying about your children, or things that they're saying about this, or the things they're saying about your church, or that, you know, we got all the bad things that are running through our mind, all the things that we worry about, all the things that we're, and we get worked up about it, and we worked up about it. But here in verse number two, they're saying the blessed man, or the blessed individual, is the person who delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So it's being saturated with the word. And there's one preacher put it this way: whatever delights us directs us. Whatever delights us directs us. And I agree with that to a point, because I think most of us would say, yeah, I delight in the law of the Lord. I delight in the Bible. But there's two things here. It doesn't just say that, but his delight is in the law of the Lord and stop there. There is a continuation there. He has taken his delight and he has digested that, and he has made the word of God something that he considers and something he thinks about. Joshua 1:8 puts it this way: this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It's there. It's saying that once you meditate in it, and the reason why you meditate in it is to observe it, then God's going to be able to make your way prosperous. Then God's going to be able to give you good success. But we have to, first of all, learn how to delight in it. And I think most of us as Christians, like, I delight in the word of God. But do we read it? I mean, delight means having pleasure. You have pleasure in it. One of the other outlines I looked at, I thought about the path of the blessed, the pleasure of the blessed, and the promises given to the blessed. But instead, I thought it was important to saturate yourself with the word of God. It's not just saying, oh, this is the Bible. Let's sing some songs about the Bible, and let's sing about how it's wonderful, and God's old book and God's good book. And those are all good things. But when we don't apply it to our lives and we don't saturate our hearts with it, you know what's going to happen is we're going to fall short. Because there's two things. Blessed is a man that does not do these things, but does these. And that's what we have to learn, is we're never going to know what the ungodly is until we know what is the right thing to do. Because those Sadducees on Sunday, and those Pharisees, and those Herodians, they had pictured in their whole mind, and they knew the word of God, but they didn't study the word of God to let it change their heart and change their mind. That's when it's saying that we meditate in it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. So when we come to hear preaching, and when we come to read the word of God, it's, God, my heart is open. What is it you want me to change? How do I apply this to my life? We must learn to saturate. God desires to bless us. He really, truly does. He is giving us here at this beginning, in this first chapter of the book of Psalms, this is what the blessed life looks like. This is what the blessed man looks like. This is what the blessed individuals. And these are the conditions to receiving the word of God and receiving the blessings of the word of God. Separate from the world. Separate from the ungodly thinking. Separate from those that are thinking ungodly and doing ungodly. Don't let them influence you. Don't let them take up residency in your mind. That's hard for me sometimes. When somebody's negative, when somebody's doing something's wrong going on, something I have to deal with, the devil knows. I try not to be a worrier, but I'm a person that likes to fix things. I wish I could fix it right then. I wish I could just, force things to do this or that. But many times I have to learn to wait on the Lord. And I have to let the Lord lead and let the Lord guide and let the Lord direct. And I need to learn how to put the word of God in my heart and the word of God in my mind, and then meditate on those things I've learned. If you read the scriptures this morning, there was a lot of wonderful truth that you read in it. You say, well, you don't know what I read. It's good stuff in there. But you take it with you. You meditate on it. It's something that you continually allow to go over and over in your heart and over in your mind. You're going to be thinking about something all day long. You will think about something all day long. And the Bible says that the blessed person is one who meditates on it day and night. Third thing, And so the third thing is in there is we must be steadfast in our ways. Steadfast in our ways. So we first saw separated from the world, saturated with the word, steadfast in our ways. And that's what you see in verse number 3, the picture that's given here. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now that's, those are amazing promises. And it's, you read those, you're thinking, well, that's not everything I do that prospers. And it seems like I'm withering away. I'm not seeming like I'm bringing forth much fruit. Either God's saying in his word it's not true, which we know that's not right. Or for some reason, we're missing something in verse number 1. Or we're missing something in verse number 2. Or as it says in verse number 3, and he shall be like a tree planted. We need to be rooted in God. This is a steadfast thing. There are certain days of the week that I feel like, boy, I do a lot to get my heart ready and prepared to make sure I'm super clean and want to be right with God. It can't be just a certain days of the week. It can't just be Sunday morning when I know I get the opportunity to speak 4 different times. It can't be that. It's got to be every day. It's got to be consistent. I need to be steadfast in my ways. I need to be like that tree, and he's going to be a tree. If you meditate on the word of God day and night, it's saying that you will be like that tree because the roots are going to grow, and you're going to grow farther and farther into God and the way he thinks, and you're going to be established, and you're going to be established when it says here by the rivers of water is example of the Bible. And then he says in verse number 4, the ungodly are not so. There's a comparison. The ungodly are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. In contrast, the believer, the ungodly, the believer is like a tree. The ungodly is like the chaff. The chaff doesn't produce fruit. If anything, it gets blows away. It's worthless. Now, the believer is the one that produces the fruit. He's like that tree. He has taken and he has rooted himself in God, and he will produce fruits because he is a reward for being steadfast. As Christians, we must learn to reject the ungodly. We must learn they're not acting godly. They're not doing the things that God will want to do. What they're going to produce is nothing but chaff, stuff that's going to blow away. But the person, the word of God, and prospering in my heart and listening to the word of God and meditating on the word of God, that's going to cause me to... It's going to cause me to be planted. It's going to cause the root to grow deeper and deeper and deeper to the point that it's going to produce fruit in your life. And that's what we desire here. But look at some of the promises to those that are steadfast. Look at some of the promises here that are steadfast. It says here in verse number 3, and they shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. We think of the steadfastness of many trees, especially those that have deep roots. And it says that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Do we produce fruit? And I know that this is, people rather hear other parts of the message. People rather hear, well, let's talk about a doctrine. And I think doctrine is super important. It teaches us right. But when we ask questions like, well, are you producing fruit? Do you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness? Are those things coming out of your life naturally? If not, there's a problem. We need to deal with the problem. Are you seeing people saved? Are you seeing people, are you helping someone in your Christian life? When we hear about these questions, it's like, I don't really want to think about that. I do really good over here. These people really like me. I'm working really hard doing this. And boy, I've given hours doing this. And I got a good relationship with these people. The question is the fruits of the Spirit in our lives? Because that's what it's saying here, that they're going to produce fruit. And I understand what it says here. They bring forth his fruit and his season, talking about God. And there are certain times. There are times when things will take times to develop, and it'll take times to see people producing fruit. I understand that. That it doesn't happen overnight. And it's the idea that's the picture of being steadfast. I'm doing what's right. I'm living for God. I'm meditating his word day and night. I'm letting those roots grow deeper and deeper. And God's going to produce his fruit in his season. We don't want to produce something in our own, because our fruit's not, it's going to be worthless. But not only do you see this, it says his leaf also shall not wither. It means it's not going to grow dead. It's not going to grow stale. It's not going to wither away. And sometimes we think of plants that do that. And whenever I buy my wife flowers, and That's probably not as much as I should. It's nice to look at them pretty for a few days, but then after a number of days, they start withering away. They start turning. Why is that? Because they've been taken off the root. They've been cut and they've been put in water. And they have a little bit of resource there that's going to give them life, but sooner or later, it's going to wither away. But when you're steadfast, you know what's going to happen is you're still rooted in there and you're going to continue pulling from the life source. You're going to continue pulling from the Holy Spirit of God. Your leaf is not going to wither. It's going to continue to be strong. It's going to continue to produce fruit. And sometimes when you see someone's life that's withering away, you're like, I wonder what's going on. It's because they've disconnected from the power source. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying when people face hardships, because yea, that all that live godly will suffer persecution. Hardship sometimes is a sign that you're trying to live for God and the devil doesn't like it. So we're not saying that. But I'm saying the person who has changed in their disposition, the person who's changed in their godly attitude, the person who's changed when it comes to being spiritually minded, and when they look at things and they listen to the ungodly, and when they've made a change in their heart and made a change in their life, that no longer are they seeking after the Lord, no longer are they meditating on the Word of God, no longer are they letting God's word influence them. Instead, they let other people influence them. They let their emotions influence them. They let their feelings, they're going to start withering away. That used to be someone that was a bright light for Christ has grown so dim because there's things that have clouded them. And we must remember that if we truly want to have a leaf that is not withering away, we must be that person that is meditating on the Word of God, that's planted and that we're producing fruit. Another thing you see here is that this last phrase is a little bit tough. It says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And you kind of scratch your head and say, well, who in the world has that? Whatever they do, they prosper. Everything they touch, it seems like it turns out right. And you're like wondering, who could do that? It's a person who thinks as God thinks. Person who is seeking after the mind of Christ, the person that what does prosper look like? Furthering the kingdom of God or looking what the rest of the world says? There's more people. There's more this. There's more that. Sometimes God is doing a pruning in a tree, or sometimes God is taking away, and the greatest success they can do is to get rid of certain things in our hearts and life so they can produce more fruit in the future. And that's what he's saying here when he says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It means that whatever they're doing, God is going to be able to work through and they're going to learn. They're going to continue to grow and they're going to continue to see the situation, and they're going to be able to grow closer to the Lord and grow closer to what he's doing, no matter what the situation is. And we must learn that we first got to separate from those that are ungodly. We must not let them in our hearts. We must not let them in our minds. And I'm not saying we ignore them. Truth is truth. If there's a criticism, you listen to it. You find out if there's any truth in it. You learn how to deal with it. But you don't let the ungodly take up space in your mind. Then you begin thinking on the right things. You begin meditating on the right things. You begin to fill your heart and fill your mind with the Word of God in this continual process, and you become steadfast. Last but not least, some of the rewards of being steadfast. You'll produce fruit. You're not going to wither. You're going to prosper. You can trust the Lord because he knows what's going on. Look what it says at the end of verse number six. At the beginning of verse number six, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. This is saying the Lord knows. What does the Lord know? Everything. He knows it all. And that's, you say, well, has that a reward? It's because we can trust in him. He knows exactly what's happening. God knows you. He knows everything you need. He knows that desperate need that you have in your heart. He knows the desperate need in your life. He knows what the ungodly is saying. He knows what he's trying to do with his word in your heart and life. He knows how to help you to produce your fruit in your season, and how to let your wheat leaf not wither, and how to help you to prosper in whatever you're doing. He knows how to do all those things, and we can trust him in that. We don't have to figure it out ourselves. We don't have to turn around and say, well, I wonder if my leaf's withering right now. I wonder why I'm not producing the fruit that I want to produce. I wonder why it doesn't seem like this is prospering, where God could be holding something back in order to set you up for something greater in the future. Many times when God says no, it's because he has a greater yes. So blessed is the man that understands that God is the one that knows. I see the contrast that's found in verse number 5. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. We see, talking about the future there, they're not going to be there someday. You know, these people and individuals we have allowed to come into our hearts and mind and replace the word of God, because we're going to be thinking about something. And when we think about what the world tells us or what the ungodly tells us versus what the word tells us and what God tells us, we have allowed those who are not going to be there someday, those who do not love God, and those who do not care about God, and those who are trying to mold and make us into this world and get their own thinking, instead of saying, what does God think? How does God feel? And we're letting that replace this. And because of that, we're not seeing what verse number 3's promises are. Are you more like the chaff that's being blown around? Oh, that sounds right. Oh, that sounds right. Or are you more like that tree that's planted and it's actually producing fruit? Is it something that, what's in your mind tonight? What has taken up residency in your mind? What has taken up space in your heart and taken up space in your mind? Is it the things of God? Is it the things of His Word? Is it the power of God's Word and the power of what God can do in the heart and what power of what God can do in a life? Say, Pastor, I'm worried about what's going to happen here. I'm worried what's going to happen with my family. I'm worried what's going to happen in my church. I'm worried what's going to happen with this relationship. And I'm worried about this. And I'm worried about that. What am I supposed to do? Focus on His Word. He tells us to be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. To give everything over to Him. He tells us to do that. But we continually to let something else occupy our mind instead. You don't have to. You can bring every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Jesus Christ. You can cast down imaginations, that every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And that's the person that's the blessed person. When we read in Psalms 37:4, when it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. We look at that and we're thinking, that can't be true. And it's parallel to this, is that whatever you do is going to prosper. Is when you delight in the right things. Have we really tried the Word of God? And I'm not just saying, okay, I love the Bible. I'm going to sing I love the Bible. No, I take the Word of God and I apply it to my life and I think about these things and I let the Word of God reign supreme in my heart, whether it's even just one verse or two verses, and I'm going to cast down the imaginations. I'm going to every high thing that dissolves itself against the knowledge of God, anything that tries to take and put itself where God's Word belongs, don't want anything to do with it, and let it sink in. Let God's Word change your life. You see the complete differences that are there. You see where the one person in chapter number 1 is, if you're going to be blessed in verse number 1, there are certain things you're not going to do. If you're going to be blessed in verse number 2, there are certain things you are going to do. If you're going to be blessed, this is what it's going to look like in verse number 3. The non-blessed person, the ungodly person, this is what they're going to look like. The chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, they're not going to stand in the judgment, and they're not going to be in the congregation of the righteous. Why is that? Because God knows. He knows the way. He knows what we need. And so what He tells us we need to meditate in His Word day and night, then that's what we need. Why is it that we think that we need something else? Well, it's got to be something more. It can't be just the Bible. It can't be just putting the Word of God in my heart and my life. It can't be that. But He tells us the benefits. And it's more than just delighting. It's meditating day and night. And it's more than just on one night. It's saying that He becomes steadfast in what He's done. And He's become that tree that's planted by the rivers of water. I don't know. Often I go, when I go out door knocking, I hear people. And sometimes I talk to them about church. And I talk to them about, I try to talk to them about the Lord, but they many times are more interested in church and talking about the Lord, and that kind of shows you something. And then they tell me why they left the church. And sometimes it's some of the most petty reasons. And man disappointed them. Man disappoints you. I knock on doors and I hear people say, well, that person said this or did that, and I don't even know if it's true or not, but it seems kind of really, really ridiculous. I says, well, did the Lord disappoint you? And, you know, they well, I guess not. Then why did you forsake Him? Why do you forsake the believers? And it's important to understand that if you let something else occupy your mind, you're going to turn into someone that is not producing fruit. You're going to turn into someone who is blown around. Every wind and doctrine. This person says this and that person says that. And you're going to you're going to worry about what everybody else thinks and how everybody else feels more than, I need to put God's word in my heart. Am I someone that is producing fruit? Am I someone that is meditating on the word of God? Do I care if when I say something, it sounds godly or not? But no, we don't want that. We rather be the person that walking with the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, sitting in the seat of the scornful. We'd rather be that because it's natural. It's easy to do. It's enjoyable at times if you're trying to live according to the flesh. Is studying the word of God a difficult thing? It is difficult to focus on sometimes. It really is. Meditating on the word of God, the devil is going to do whatever he can to stop you meditating on the word of God. Because as you meditate, you're going to grow deeper and deeper, stronger and stronger roots. That way you're going to be able to produce. Remember, we need the resources of God to produce the fruit. For without me, you can do nothing, it says in John. And we got to remember, we need his resources. We need his light. We need his watering. We need whatever he can do. We need his resources to produce that fruit. And where we place our roots at is paramount. Where whether we place them deep into the word of God or whether we place them deep into some other type of ungodly thinking. That's the type of fruit you're going to produce. One that's just a chaff that blows away. That's nothing but worthless and sometimes even harmful. Or the fruit that God wants to produce in your life. Blessed is the man. So as we look at this, I think it's an interesting way to start in that first chapter. And as we open up the whole book, like I said, we should see God in all this. We should rejoice in what God can do in our lives. We should rejoice in the fact that the Lord knows in verse number 6, he knows the way of the righteous. He knows if you're not doing something right. You can fool yourself. You can fool someone else. You can fool your family, but you're never going to fool God. You're never going to have that blessing. Oh, what I'm doing is right. What I'm doing is okay. What I'm doing is just fine. But is it godly? He knows the way of the righteous. He knows if you're doing the right things. He also knows the way of the ungodly. So how are we going to know what's right? Let the word of God reign supreme in your heart and life. Let's have a word of prayer.